Yamasi Karan is the most somber, painful, heart-wrenching day on the modern-day Jewish calendar. You have hundreds and thousands of bereaved family members, friends, relatives, teachers visiting the military cemeteries and paying their respects to those who have fallen in defense of Medina Israel and Eretz Israel. So far to date this year, Rachmana Litzlan Ad Masay Dayenu, there have been 19 victims of terror in 2023, including the famous Paley brothers, Yaniv brothers, and D sisters, and of course their mother as well. And it's the most difficult day in the day of the State of Israel. I was listening to a shiur last week, Rabbi Zev Lev Shlit of Moshe Matityahu. He was actually speaking about Yom HaShoah. We go, of course, from Yom HaShoah, the end of Nisan, into Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmuot on Dalet and Hey Iyar, respectively. In quick succession, we go from Holocaust Remembrance Day to the Remembrance Day for the fallen IDF soldiers and victims of terror, followed by Independence Day celebrations. I was listening to Shir Rasuk Rabbi Zevlev on Yom HaShoah, but he was talking about the siren that ushers in the day. The Yom HaZikaron is also ushered in with a siren. Rabbi Zevlev was explaining that this is not a Jewish way of commemorating the dead. You don't find any source for sounding a siren and standing for a minute of attention. We commemorate the dead by learning Torah. Mishnayos, Mishnah and Nisham is the same letters, which is why after Patira, people sign up to learn Mishnayos. We give tzedakah, we support Torah, l'zecho nishmasam, Kaddish, iskadav iskadash shmei rabba, yishmei rabba mevarach l'olam, l'olam me'amaya, light a yurtzai candle. This is how we commemorate, the Jewish way of commemorating the dead. But it has become the practice in the State of Israel to sound the siren, and everyone stands for a moment of silence and attention, paying their respects. I think Rabbi Zevlev said something very, very important, and not everyone today holds of, you could say, Yom HaShoah and Yom HaZikaron, or Yom HaAtzmaut. Your mahalach is your mahalach. I think it's pretty clear what my mahalach is. But Rabbi Zevlev said, if you don't hold of the siren, because it's not the Jewish way of mourning, do not be outside during the siren. He said that the State of Israel does not surprise us. Everyone knows when the siren is going off. And if it's something that you personally, for whatever reason, do not hold of, everyone according to their own Rav, I'm not here politically to cause, God forbid, divide or tell people what to do or what not to do. I think my position on Medina Israel is pretty clear. But he said, don't be outside during the siren. The Chilul Hashem that emanates, and people see that the certain factions of society, Haredim, do not honor the memory of the fallen. The Chilul Hashem that emanates from walking around during the siren, not stopping, driving, talking, whatever it is much greater. He said it's not usher to stand during the siren. You're not over anything. It's not usher. It's not the Jewish way, but you're not usher. There's no loving involved here. So he says if you're outside and it goes off, you need to make a point of being inside. Stand quietly. Because people then see you and they think, look, Torah Jews, do not honor, do not pay respect to the fallen. Whether it's the 6 million Kedoshim of the Shoah, my four grandparents' families, including three of them, had spouses and children before the war, or it's the memory, Rachmana Litzlan, of the victims of terror and the fallen IDF soldiers. So Rabbi Zevlev said, they don't understand that you're not standing at attention. Why? He said, some people don't even know why they're not standing at attention. They don't even understand the reason. And the State of Israel does not surprise us. Don't be outside. If you are outside, stand quietly. So he says, the Chilul Hashem that emanates from such a thing is way greater than any love that you are not over from not standing on attention. And when our nation, so many of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, in Medinat Yisrael, on this day, are in so much pain as it is a national day of mourning, Yima Anochi Betzara, it behooves us in some way to try, in a small way, I can't even use the word appreciate because we can't appreciate, to try to be with them in their pain. I also must make note that this summer it will be 9 years, nine, since Mivtza Tzok Eitan, when Hadar Golden and Oren Shaul were captured, and they are still not returned for Kavur Yisraelis. There is no Jewish grave for their families to go to pay their respects. I'll begin by quoting the very famous, very Balas Amuna, Miriam Peretz, in her sefer, in her book, Miriam's Song, The Story of Miriam Peretz. If by some chance you have not read it yet, I highly suggest that you do read it. On the eve of Yom HaZikaron, so you should know by now that Miriam Peretz lost two sons in the IDF. Her son Uriel, her eldest son at the age of 22, fell in the north in battle with Hezbollah. And then her son Eliraz, who was married to Shlomit and had four young children, her son Eliraz fell in 2010 at the age of 31 in the Gaza Strip in the battle with Hamas. So Miriam lost her first and her second son. As I've told you a number of times, I was zocha, considered as chus. Well, there shouldn't be no need for such a chus, but if there is such a place called Har Herzl, I was zocha with my family to be there in the summer of 2019. If you recall, I mentioned to you that we took a tour guide, Israeli tour guide, obviously, and we did, I don't know, tour, I don't know what to call it, of Har Herzl. And we went to different kvarim of different soldiers. He took us to different kvarim of different soldiers and told us their stories. It was extremely moving, extremely kedai to do such a thing. I requested that we go to the graves of the Peretz boys. And in fact, he took us to the graves of the Peretz boys. So I will quote from Miriam's book. And this is written, she writes, on the eve of Yom HaZikaron 2010, less than a month after Eliraz died. She writes, died. After Eliraz was killed in battle, again, that was her second son. On the eve of Yom HaZikaron, he was killed Erev Pasach, Erev Shabbat HaGadol, Miriam writes. So on the eve of Yom HaZikaron, less than a month after Eliraz died, I was asked to write a piece about my feelings. And this is what Miriam wrote. Uriel and Eliraz, my life's joy and my heart's grief. Forgive me, my beloved children. Forgive me that I am here, continuing without you. Life grasps onto me. It grips me by force and doesn't release me. I don't know why. Why me? I am a mother like all other mothers, hoping for her children's success, health, and safety. Like all other mothers, afraid, worried, hurting. Forgive me, Uriel, my eldest son. This year I won't stand before your grave on Yom HaZikaron. I have done so for 12 years, half of them with Dad beside me, along with Eliraz, who salutes you and silently shouts, my brother, my beloved. Uriel, my eldest, I am sure you already know that Eliraz, your brother, who you so loved and admired, who you called champ, the one you always told me was better than you. I am sure, Uriel, you know your brother Eliraz has joined you. So this year, forgive me, but I won't stand before your grave on Yom HaZikaron. This year I will stand beside your brother Eliraz, because he needs me. He's new in your section. He has to get used to the dark, the earth. You know, I never played favorites with you. I always sat between the two of you. With my right hand, I stroked your golden locks, Uriel, With my left hand, I smoothed Eliraz's kinky curls. A hug on the right, a hug on the left. Always together with one mother. And now I will stand at a distance, 4 yards. Separate you, Uriel, from Eliraz. I will gaze at you from behind Eliraz's grave. I know you'll allow me. Uriel, I hear your voice saying, Ima, my younger brother Eliraz needs you now. I'll be fine. I permit you, Ima. I permit you to be with Eliraz for more time. And when you have finished, when you have poured out your heart, your pain, Ima, come to me for a little while because I need you too. Because a mother's embrace is never forgotten. Maybe, Ima, with me, you'll find some comfort. I'll give you a big hug. I'll say, don't worry, Ima, I'm here. I showed him the way. I paved the road for him. Ima, I'm here for him with Abba. Abba waiting with the talit. Oh, her husband, Eliezer, died at the age of 56 between the death of her first and second sons. And she says he died of a broken heart after his Uriel was killed. And that here in this poem is what she's referring to. Going back, she is paraphrasing what she imagines Uriel is saying. Ima, I'm here for him, for Eliraz with Abba. Abba's waiting with the talit. His two hands are stretched out towards our heads to bless us. May the Lord bless you and keep you and grant you peace. And you, dear Ima, you must continue the life of a mother. You must continue for yourself, for Avichai, Al Yasaf, Hadas, and Bat-El. Those are Miriam's other children. For Shlomit and Eliraz's children. Eliraz, when he fell, had 4 young children. You must continue for Shlomit, Eliraz's widow, and his children, his orphans, whom I did not even know. And Ima, you must continue for me and for Eliraz. And now Miriam switches to her voice. And I, your mother, will forever hear the voice bursting from your tiny cradle, from your grave. I'll always hear the lullaby you love to hear before bed. The light has been gone for a while. Don't leave now as well. Come, Ima, come, Ima. Sit with me until I grow up. Hugging, kissing, loving, and continuing, Ima. On another occasion inspired by Seder night, Miriam wrote, 2 sons, 1 military plot, and 1 mother standing before them in silence. 2 sons, 1 military plot, 1 people, and 1 precious beloved land, 1 God, and 1 prayer. If only comfort would arrive. I've quoted this quite a number of times. I'll quote it again from Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, who of course went on to become the chief rabbi of the state of Israel, whose son Rabbi David Lau is now the chief rabbi, Ashkenazic chief rabbi of the state of Israel. Israel commemorates first Yom HaShoah, and then a few days later, a week later, Yom HaZikaron. As I said last week in a shir, author is unknown, but there's a saying that goes, Yom HaShoah reminds us of the cost of not having a state, and Yom HaZikaron reminds us of the cost of having a state. Despite the presence of the officers, Naftali did not give up on our goodbye. Naftali is Rav Yisrael Meir Lau's, was Rav Lau's older brother, Naftali Lau, and the two of them survived. Despite the presence of the officers, Naftali did not give up on our goodbye. Searching for a safer meeting place, he went to the rear of the block, where there were no SS guards. With the last remnants of his strength, he called my name. He spoke to me for just a minute, but every word that came out of his mouth remained engraved in my mind as if it were his last. And you have to remember that Rav Lau at this point was a very little boy. He was almost 8 years old. He is perhaps the most famous child survivor of the camps. Every word that came out of his mouth remained engraved in my mind, says Rav Lau, as if it were his last. Lulik, he said, that was also a male's nickname. Lulik, he said, they're taking me. I hope, but I can't be sure, that we will see each other again sometime. But there is no way back from where they are taking us. You're a big boy now, Lulik. You will be 8 in a few months. I can't and I won't hide the truth from you. I see no chance of being saved from this hell. It's the end of the world. We have no father. They took Milik as well, another brother. I don't know what happened to mother. They, of course, were all murdered. She probably thinks and talks about us all the time, but I'm not sure she's alive. Now they're taking me too, and you'll be alone. I see that you have good friends here. Haman, the block commander, is a good man. Fyodor likes you. Margolis takes care of you. Maybe there will be a miracle, and you will stay alive. And this will all end sometime. I've come to tell you that there's a place in the world called Eretz Yisrael. Say Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. Again, repeat after me. I knew not one word of Hebrew, but I repeated those two words, Eretz Yisrael, without understanding their meaning. Naftali explained, Eretz Yisrael is the home of the Jews. The foreign nations exiled us from there long ago, and to there we must return. This is the only place in the world where they do not kill Jews. If you stay alive, you will surely meet people who want to take you to other places because you're a nice kid. But you're not going anywhere else. Remember what I say, only Eretz Yisrael. Repeat after me. We have an uncle there. Naftali was referring to our uncle, Rabbi Mordechai Vogelman, who had been a rabbi in Katowice, Poland. He escaped in 1940 to Palestine and became the rabbi of Kiryat Motzkin. But Naftali did not burden me with these details. He only mentioned our uncle, and he said, our uncle lives in Eretz Yisrael. He will want to know what happened to us. When you are saved and you get to Eretz Yisrael, give your name. Say you are the son of Rav Lau of Piatrika. That much you know. They should look for your uncle according to your name. That way he'll be able to find you. Goodbye, Lulik. Remember, Eretz Yisrael. That was all. He walked towards the camp gate. I saw his back retreating until he completely disappeared from view. Naftali recalls that even as he moved farther and farther away, he still heard my heart-rending sobs. The last words, well, Naftali survived. But what message did he want to impart to his almost 8-year-old brother, who he did not know if he would survive or not? Eretz Yisrael, repeat after me two words, Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara tells us in Masechah Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin Aleph. The Gemara tells us something interesting. When Cain killed Hevel, in Perek Dalet Bereishis, the pasuk says, "Vayomer Cain el Hevel Achiv, vayhi biyosem basada, vayakom Cain el Hevel Achiv vayahargehu." And Cain said to Hevel his brother, and it was when they were in the field, and Cain got up to Hevel his brother and he killed him. What did he say? Different shear. Point is, he killed his brother. Vayom Hashem al Cain. Hashem said to Cain, "Ei Hevel Achicha, where is Hevel your brother?" Vayom Lo Yadati Hashomer Achi Anochi. Said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Vayom Ma Sisa. God says, "What did you do? Call to me Achicha. So Akim Alai Min Akever. What have you done? The voice of your brother's bloods are crying out to me from the ground." Note that the pasuk says, "Kol demei achicha tzo'akim alai min ha'adama." The voice of your brother's bloods, in the plural, cries out to me from the ground. Now, it should just say, "Dam achicha," Why is it pluralized? What does it mean? The voice of your brothers' bloods are screaming out to me from the ground. What does that mean? So Rashi tells us, first of all, Dame, Damo Vidam Zariosav. When Cain killed Hevel, he didn't just kill him. He killed the potential for future. He killed the potential for offspring. For Zarachai Vikayama, Damo, his blood, Vidam Zariosav, the blood of his future offspring. Davar Acher, Sha'asabo Pitsaim Harbe, another matter, quoting Mesechah Sanhedrin Lama Zayin, which is where I really actually want to go to in a minute, but Rashi quotes the Gemara there, that he made in him many bruises. So when Cain killed Hevel, he made many injuries at different places in the body because he didn't know where the soul leaves from. Demeyachicha refers to the many blows he gave him. And the first shot is that when his life was taken, it wasn't just Hevel's life. It was the life of any future offspring he would have. So the Gemara tells us in Lam and Zayin Aleph, which Rashi, by the way, just quoted, Shakim et sinu b'kain sharagas achiv. So we found with Cain when he killed his brother, Shanema, like the Pasuk says, Demei achicha tzo'akim, the bloods of your brothers call out. Eino omar dam achicha, ala demei achicha. Doesn't say the blood of your brothers, rather the bloods of your brothers. Damo v'dam zar osav. So Rashi told us that on the Chumash, quoting the Chazal, the blood and the blood of his offspring, potential offspring. Davar Acher, another matter. Demei Achicha, the bloods of your brothers. Shahayadamu Mushlech al Ha'etzim ve'al Ha'avanim. His blood was not gathered in one place. It was splattered on the trees and the stones. We've all seen the images of Zaka in Israel, who worked to collect every piece of Jewish flesh and every speck of blood, because Jewish blood is not profane. And even when it is splattered on the stones and the trees, the shulach ala itzim v'al havanim, it is worthy of Kfar Yisraelis. Anyone remembers Kobi Mandel and Yossi Ichran, Tamei achicha, the bloods of your brother, to 13-year-old boys went hiking in their home, behind their home, in Tekoa, in the caves behind the home. Demei achicha, shahi demo meshulach ale itzim v'alavanim. Kobi Mandel and Yossi Ishwan skipped a day of school to go hiking in the caves behind the home. They were stoned to death by Arab terrorists, their bodies left there. Dama chicha, eno omer, ala demea chicha, damo v'dam zarosav. It's not just the person who was killed. It's the future life he could have brought to this world. The future generations of Jews that could have been brought to this world. The zarachai v'koyama that may have been born. Davar acher demea chicha, shahaya damo meshulach ale eitzim v'al ha'avanim. He stood by the grave in Har Herzl of Ronen Lubarsky. The tour guide actually did not know the name or remember, and I remembered and knew the name. They were doing a tour, I don't know what you call it, of duty. And I believe one of the refugee camps, and a huge concrete slab was thrown from an upper window, and it hit Ronen Lubarsky on the head. A stone slab, concrete stone, and he was killed. Damo meshulach al ha'itzim ve'al ha'avanim. Continues the Gemara. Lefichach nivra Adam yechidi. Therefore, man was created all alone. Why was Adam created all alone? When Adam was created, in Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim esa Adam afar min Adama. Hashem Elokim created Adam, dust from the earth. He blew into his nostrils the soul of life. A man became a living spirit. Why was Adam created alone? Especially because then a few seconds later, Hashem says, oh, you know what? It's not good for man to be alone. So if it's not good for man to be alone, why was he created alone? So the Gemara answers, why was Adam created yichidi? L'lamdecha, to teach you. Shekol ha-me'abed nafash achas Mishra'el. Ma'ala alav ha-kasuv kilu ibed olam male. Why was Adam created alone? To teach you, and Rashi on the Gemara says, by the way, remember in Sanhedrin, Lam and Zayin Aleph, Rashi says, L'fichach nivra Adam Yechidi, Kol ze omer lahem, L'fichach nivra Adam Yechidi, L'haroz chashem Adam echad nivra melo sha'olam. Adam was created alone, but you see that he populated an entire world, from Adam, from Shais. People forget about his third son, Shais, who is Veheda Adam Eschave Ishta Vatahar Vatehebein. Shais is born in the beginning of Perikei. From Shais, the whole world is populated. So you see that one person could populate a whole world. That's a connection between the first part of the Gemara that we quote on this part. What does the first part have to do with anything? First part speaks about Demei Achicha, and the Gemara says, Damo V'dam Zarosav. It was his blood and the blood of any potential offspring. And then all of a sudden the Gemara is talking about, why was Adam created Yechidi? What does it have to do with anything? It has a lot to do, because if one person could populate the whole world, and Cain killed Hevel, he didn't kill one person, he killed an entire world. That's what the Gemara is telling you, according to Rashi's pshat here. L'fichach nivra Adam yichidi l'amdecha, shekol ma'abe nefech ashas echas mishal ma'ala alav akasiv ki'ilu ibeid olam malei. V'chol ma'kayim nefesh achas mishal ma'ala alav akasiv ki'ilu kiyam olam malei. The Gemara says this comes to teach you that anyone who destroys one soul, one life of the Jewish people, it is considered as if he destroyed an entire world. And anyone who upholds one life from Israel is considered as if he upheld the entire world. And therefore, Adam was created yichidi, because you have to realize the impact of one person. One person is an entire world. If Adam, through Shais, could populate the whole world, it's not just Kobe, Mendel, and Yossi Isharon, whose blood was scattered on the trees and the stones. It's any children they may have had, and children they may have had. It's not just 6 million Jews that the Nazis murdered. It's any descendants they may have had, and the descendants that they may have had. Omar gives another reason, with Neshalm Habrios, because of peace between creations. Shal Yomar Adam Chaver Abba Gadol Me'avicha. No one should be able to say, my father, my Yichus, is better than your Yichus. I'm more famous than you. I'm more well-known than you. I come from greater lineage than you. No, everyone comes from the same lineage. We all come from Adam. Mipnei shalom abriya, shalom yomar Adam echaveru, abba gadol me'avicha. No one can say, my father's greater than your father. We all come from the same father. Who is that? Adam Arishon. How could anyone brag about their yichus? We all came from the same place. Therefore, Adam was created alone. If there were five people created, so maybe one would be greater than the other. And someone could say, my father's greater than your father. Here, no one could brag about their yichus. Furthermore, so that the non-believers, the idol worshippers, the heretics will not say there are many authorities in heaven, says Rashi on the Gemara. And in other words, the heretics will be able to say, the five people created, okay, your God created Adam, my God created this, and my God created that. They shouldn't be able to say there are many gods in the heaven. Furthermore, v'lahagid gedulaso shel Kodesh Baruch Hu, to tell you the greatness of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Sha'adam, continuing in the Gemara Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin Aleph, Sha'adam tovea kama met ba'os b'chosem echad. Kul and do min zel azeh. U'malach ma'achayim lechem et Kodesh Baruch Hu, tovea ka'adam b'chosem o'sha'adam arishon, ve'ein achar mehem dom lechaveiro. Lefichach kol adam chayiv lomar b'shvili nivra ha'olam. I know I didn't translate it. So the Gemara says, to tell you the greatness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. When a man makes an imprint for a coin, makes a, what's it called? I don't know what it's called, a coin. I forget the word I'm looking for. Anyway, when he makes a coin with one seal, Bechosam Echad, Kulan Dom in Zalazah, when the U.S. Mint makes the imprint, the prototype of a nickel, every nickel is going to look the same. You have one nickel, that's the mother of all nickels, and every nickel is going to look the same. Every penny is going to look the same. Every dime is going to look the same. That's just how it is. But when it comes to the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we all come from the same coin, so to speak. What's the same coin? Adam HaRishon. But we all look different. And yet we're all different. We're all individuals. How could it be if we all come from the same mother and the same father? We all look different. Every person needs to say, for me, the whole world was created. Because Adam was created yichidi. Look at the potential of Adam. He was a unique yachid who literally populated the whole world. Everyone is a unique yachid who can proverbially populate the world. When one person is destroyed, a whole world is destroyed. His blood is scattered. Hayadamo meshulach al ha'itzim ve'al ha'avanim. And not only is it his blood, but it's the blood of his offspring as well. And therefore, lefichach nivra adam yichidi la'amdecha shekol ma'abed nefesh achas mishra'el ma'ale ala kaf alav ha'kasuv kilu ibed olam ma'ale. One destroys a soul in Israel, it's as if he destroyed an entire world. An entire world. I'm going to quote once again from Rav Yisrael Meir Lau. This is not a story that I have quoted often. And I don't think it's a well-known family either. Tehi Zichron Baruch. I will now quote the following story from Rav Yisrael Meir Lau's book, Out of the Depths. At 8 o'clock in the morning one Sunday in February 1996, Sunday morning, February 1996, a peak traffic hour in Israel's capital, a suicide bomber blew himself up on bus number 18 in Jerusalem, killing 26 passengers. Think of the Gemara we just learned. My office manager at the chief rabbinate knew that as soon as she heard about a terrorist attack, she had to gather as much information as possible about the victims as quickly as possible so I could attend the funerals or pay a shiva call during the week-long mourning period. Several hours after the attack, I found a neat list on my desk with the names of 24 victims and their addresses. But on the radio, I heard 26. Two names were missing. My secretary explained she obtained the list from Jerusalem's welfare department, which was responsible for gathering information on each of the victims. I insisted that she call again and ask for the other two names. She did so. The municipality was able to confirm the two others, a new immigrant couple from Ukraine, were the Kushnirovs. That was the last name, Kushnirov. They were survived by two sons, a boy of 8 and a half and a baby of 5 months. The office informed me that the family was probably not sitting Shiva. There was no need to provide an address. I persevered. I found out that they lived in the Katamon neighborhood. Rav Lau writes, quote, I will never forget that visit. You know, we say about the Holocaust, there's an expression, names, not numbers. My son is in Hink. One of my boys is in Hink in 11th grade. And last week they had a Holocaust survivor come and speak, a 95-year-old Kanainar and Mev Esrim Shana, Holocaust survivor. And she told the kids her story. My son said you could have heard a pin drop in the room. And I'm just looking up her name. Mrs. Itu Lustig. Mrs. Itu Lustig Shatecha. She was 12 years old at the time. She spoke about Auschwitz, the Mengele selection. Her work detail was that they had to, she worked in a factory where they had to take the strings of tzitzis, and I guess from the talisos, unravel the strings and use them to sew carpets and other. First of all, the Nazis did not waste one material. They were so efficient. Second of all, they demeaned the Jews in every single way possible. Not only did they use the baguette, they used the strings. They had to untwist the strings and use it to sew, I think, carpets, my son said. And she said in her work detail, she was a young girl and she couldn't keep up with the work and her daily quota, nirpim atem nirpim, Tichbad ha'avoda al ha'nashim val yishu b'divrei shakar. So there was another woman, my son said older, and then he said not older, the other one was about 30. And when she finished her quota, when the Nazi wasn't looking, the guard, they would quickly switch places. So Mrs. Ita Lustig was sitting at the desk with a completed quota, and the other woman was finishing her quota. And the survivor spoke about how they took care of each other. She showed the children the number, 10 high school, 9th through 12th grades, the numbers on her arm, which add up to 18. She said, Hashem chose me for life. Going back to Rav Yisrael Meir Lau, I will never forget that visit. Oh, my point was, when it comes to Shoah, we talk about names, not numbers. The Nazis, Yimach Shem V'Zichem, just want to make us into numbers. That we should not have any identity whatsoever. Fascinating, isn't it, that the book of Shemos is called Sefer Shemos? And one of the things the Jews did not change in Egypt was their names. Perhaps it doesn't just mean that they kept names of their forefathers. Perhaps it means that they were able to hold on to their identity, despite the enemy who strives to destroy us. And so I think when we hear that Sunday morning, February 1996, at 8 a.m. in a peak traffic hour, 26 passengers were blown up to death. It's so numbing that it's very difficult to comprehend. And if you hear the story of two victims, it drives home a little bit, of what it means. I found out they lived in the Katamon neighborhood. I will never forget that visit, says Rav Lau. I arrived at the apartment in the afternoon to find three adults in shock, a relatively young woman and two older neighbors from the building. Vladik, the older boy, the 8-year-old, sat on the floor, while Tomer, the baby, 5 months old, lay in his playpen. When I entered, Vladik stared at me in astonishment. A stranger was entering his home with a long black coat and a hat. Surely for this child, a strange and unforgettable sight. I wanted to talk with him, mainly to distract him from the tragedy. I sat on one of the two simple, narrow beds in the room, and the adult sat opposite. They stared at me and I at them. After a minute or two of uncomfortable silence, the young woman introduced herself in Ivrit with a heavy Russian accent. Her name was Larissa. She was the sister of the dead mother. She, Larissa, had just got married 3 weeks ago. Before I could even introduce myself, Larissa, the aunt, addressed herself to the orphan, the 8-year-old boy. Vladik, do you know who has come to visit us? Glavnini Ravin, the chief rabbi, Rabbi Lau. The boy raised his eyes. What are you doing here? His eyes seemed to say. His aunt continued, you know, Vladik, when Rabbi Lau was 8 years old, he also did not have a mother or father. He came to Israel without parents. Just look. Today he is the Glavni Ravin of Israel. Take a lesson from him, Vladik. Everything is in your hands. When Larissa finished speaking, the boy, who understood I had no parents when I was 8 years old, stood up from the floor, came over to sit next to me on the thin mattress. He lay his head on my chest. He sat like that for an entire hour without saying a word. And after a while, I said one thing to the boy. I said, it is true, our fates are similar, but there is one big difference. I came to Israel with an older brother who took care of me. When I was your age, I had no responsibilities other than worrying about my own future. But you, on the other hand, despite your young age, have a double responsibility. Besides yourself, you have to take care of Tomer, the baby in the playpen, who does not even know what's going on. This is the big difference between us. You have a responsibility. When I said goodbye to the grieving family, I said if they were ever willing to, they should come visit me in my office in Jerusalem after the mourning period. Sometime later, Vladik and Larissa, the young boy and aunt, came to my office. I was happy to learn after the Shiva, Larissa and her new husband legally adopted her deceased sister's two children. I thought about the challenge for the husband in particular, who received two young orphans as part of his dowry. 4.5 years after the terror attack on bus number 18, I met Vladik again. This time, it was the day before Pesach. Chabad organizes a bar and bat mitzvah celebration at the Western Wall for 1,000 immigrants from the former Soviet Union. Regularly honored guests include government ministers, the mayor of Jerusalem, and the chief rabbis. Throughout my 10 years as chief rabbi, I never missed this ceremony. I gave my speech. I passed out tefillin to each boy and a candlestick to each girl. One by one, the children mounted the platform to receive their bar and bat mitzvah gifts. Suddenly, someone hugged me from behind and grabbed the tefillin from my hands. I turned around. Behind me stood a tall youth with muscular tall youth who I did not recognize. I am Vladik. Today is my bar mitzvah, by Lau. You came to visit us in Katman when my parents were killed in the attack on bus 18. Do you remember? I was with my brother Tomer. Remember, Aunt Larissa told me you were also without parents at 8 years old. I replied, I remembered quite well, but more important, he should remember. Everything is in your hands, I said to him, repeating her assertion word for word. She said to you then, if you desire and try, you can succeed. I share her blessing for you, and I hope that the master of the universe will light up your path. We parted with a strong handshake. Rav Lau concludes this particular story by saying, unfortunately, during the 10 years in which I served as chief rabbi of the state of Israel, I had many meetings similar to the one I had with Vladik. The day is called Yom HaZikaron, not Yom HaAvilut, not Yom HaHistoria, not Yom HaMilitary Cemetery, not Yom HaAtzvut, not Yom Karbanot Shel Medina Yisrael, but Yom HaZikaron. It begins very shortly in the state of Israel. It's now 6:20 in the evening in Medina Yisrael. And the day is called Yom HaZikaron. In Sefer Devarim, we are commanded, Devarim 25, 17 through 19, Zachor so shir salacha malik, bederach betseis chem mitzrayim. Asher karcha bederach, aizane bechakol nechashali mecharach va'ata ayyifi agay velo yere elokim. Vahaya bahaniach, asham alkech lecha mikol yvecha misaviv, ba'aretz, asher asham alkech nosen nechanach ala lirushta timchad zecher, amaleich mitachach shashamayim lo tishkach. You're commanded to remember. I don't understand. I'm not a Rav. I have my Rabbanim, Baruch Hashem. I don't understand people who don't hold of the day, even if you don't hold of it politically. You have thousands of your brothers and sisters who are mourning and crying, visiting the kfarim of their loved ones. And you have the Hadar Golden family, and the Oren Shaul family, and the Ron Arad family, and Ali Cohen's family, who don't even have a kever to visit. Excuse me. Paulus Bodak, who learns with us religiously twice a week, offered something very beautiful to me last week. Excuse me. She pointed out that Kever, there's a famous story told her about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Someone told him he was going to visit the Kfarim of Tzadikim in the north, Kivrei Tzadikim in the north. And by the way, I've been to the Kivrei Tzadikim in the north, not to disparage it. It's, if you can go up to the cave of the Tanaim, Amarim, go, the Tanaim, I should say. Go. But someone told Rav Shlomo Zalman, he was going to Davin up in the north by Kivrei Tzadikim. Rav Shlomo Zalman famously said, why do you need to go to the north? He pointed to Har Herzl. He said, you have a whole mountain of Kivrei Tzadikim right here. Paul pointed out to me that if you mix up the letters of Kever, which is grave, it spells Karav, close. Perhaps we can come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, closer to our brothers and sisters, our fellow Jews, by visiting the graves of the Kedoshim. And Paul said something very beautiful. Perhaps, he said, this sheds new light on the Pasuk. I'm so sorry. Bekrovai akadesh. Through those who are close to me, I become sanctified. Mi amar lami. I used to say that to my kids. One of them, particularly my daughter. I'd say, mi amar lami, and I would quote a Pasuk from Chumash. So if you're familiar, that's from Parsha Shemini. We just had it. Perek Yud, after the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, Aaron was not allowed to mourn. Elazar and Isamar, Banav Hanosum, were not allowed to mourn. But what does Moshe say? La'acheichem kol beis Yisrael yivkos asreifa asher saraf Hashem. And there are Kedoshim, your brothers, the whole house of Israel, must mourn the burning that Hashem has burned. And Moshe says to Aaron, Hu asher diber Hashem, this is what Hashem spoke, Lamor, saying, Bekrovai ekadesh. Through those who are close to me, I will become sanctified. Paul pointed out that kever spells karav. Perhaps through kivrei tzaddikim, we come closer to Hashem, and I will say, closer to our fellow Jews. Perhaps it sheds new light on the pasuk of Bekrovai ekadesh, through the kvarim of the tzaddikim, of the kadoshim, I will become sanctified. It's called Yom HaZikaron. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks points out something very powerful. I'm actually quoting from the Jonathan Sacks Haggadah, Maggid Publishers. Points out something extremely powerful. It is remarkable, says Rabbi Sacks, that Biblical Hebrew has no word for history. Modern Hebrew had to borrow a word. Modern Hebrew had to borrow a word, since Biblical Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, Lashon HaTorah, has no word for history. And so modern day Hebrew borrows a word from foreign languages. It's called historia. Because the key word of the Hebrew Bible is not history, but memory. Zachor, the command to remember, occurs time again in the Bible. Zachor Yemos Olam, Zachor Tzachar Salach HaMalik. I mean, add Zachor Semer Shabbos HaKadcha. After davening, after Shachs, we have Sheish Zechiros. He gives many examples. Zachor Tzachar Salach HaMakech LaMirim. Actually, he doesn't give so many examples, but there are many examples. The word Zachor in one or other of its forms occurs no fewer than 169 times in the Hebrew Bible. There's no word for history, but the root word for memory occurs 169 times in the Hebrew Bible. He quotes Yosef Chaim Yerushalmi, who notes, only in Israel and nowhere else is the injunction to remember felt as a religious imperative to an entire people. Jews were to become a people of memory. And he quotes his predecessor, Rabbi Lord Jacobowitz, who pointed out that the word Yizkor, which we just had on Pesach, the name given to the traditional Jewish prayer for the dead, is associated in the Torah with the future. Yizkor is not past tense, it's future tense. By Yizkor Elokim es Noach, God remembered Noach. By Yizkor Elokim es Avram, and God remembered Avram. We remember for the sake of the future and for life. Yizkor, in the Chumash, Bereishis Perachas Pasuk Av, Vayizkor Elokim es Noach. Bereishis Yud Tes, Vayizkor Elokim es Noach. Vayashalech es Lot. Vayizkor Elokim es Avram. Vayizkor Elokim es Rachel. If you look in the Chumash, Yizkor is not associated with the past. It's associated with the future. Says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, we remember for the sake of the future and for life. As with individuals, says Rabbi Sacks, so with a nation. It has a continuing identity only to the extent that it can remember where it came from and who its ancestors were. Imagine that there is no word for history, but the word for memory appears 169 times. Rav Salvechik was once visited by a student who served in the IDF. He asked the Rav the following question. He worked in the tank division, and his job was cleaning and maintaining the tanks. Often his uniform would get covered in oil and grime. Did he need to change clothing before reciting the afternoon prayer, Mincha, since the donning of proper attire is a prerequisite for prayer? He emphasized it would be possible to do so, but it would be quite inconvenient and difficult. The Rav looked at him in amazement, and he replied, "Why would you need to change? You are wearing Big Day Kodesh, holy clothing." Says the Rav, "If you asked me, how do I, a Talmudic Jew, look upon the flag of the state of Israel? And has it any halachic value? I would answer plainly, I do not hold at all with the magical attraction of a flag or of symbolic ceremonies. Judaism negates ritual connected with physical things. Nonetheless, we must not lose sight of the law in the Shulchan Aruch to the effect that one who has been killed by a non-Jew is buried in his clothing, so his blood may be seen and avenged, as it is written, V'nikesi damam lo nikesi. In other words, the clothes of a Jew acquire certain sanctity when splattered with the blood of a martyr. Remember what the Gemara says, Damei Achicha, his blood was scattered on the stones and trees. In other words, the clothes of the Jew acquire certain sanctity when splattered with the blood of a martyr. How much more so is this so of the blue and white flag, which has been immersed in the blood of thousands of young Jews defending the country and the population, religious and non-religious alike. The enemy does not differentiate between them. And so the flag is a spark of sanctity that flows from devotion and self-sacrifice. Yom HaZikaron L'Chayilei Tzahal. There's a spark of sanctity that flows from devotion and self-sacrifice. To be a Jew, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, is to know over and above history is the task of memory. He quotes a Jacob Neusner who eloquently wrote, "Civilization hangs suspended from generation to generation by the gossamer strand of memory. If only one cohort of mothers and fathers fails to convey to its children what it has learned from its parents, then the great chain of learning and wisdom snaps. If the guardians of human knowledge stumble only one time in their fall, collapses the whole edifice of knowledge and understanding. Every cohort of mothers and fathers must convey to their children what we learn from our parents, what we learn from Jewish history, what we learn from the sacrifice of our brothers and sisters and guarding Eretz Yisrael and Medina Yisra. Have we not all enjoyed the freedom to daven by the Kotel, to eat in the shuk, to view the views in the Galil and the Golan, to daven by Kirei Tzadikim at the Ma'ar HaMachpelah, Kever Rachel, where Nava Applebaum's wedding gown hangs, and over her wedding gown it says, Hakala Lenetzach, the eternal bride. And when the relatives who were on the plane for the wedding landed, they were informed that there was no wedding. There was no Kol Sasan V'Kol Simcha, Kol Chasan V'Kol Kala. There was rather B'Krovai HaKadesh, V'Achichim Kol Beis Yisrael Yivkos HaSreifa, Eshor Saraf Hashem, and her and her father, Dr. David Applebaum, Zecher Tzadikim Evrecha, were buried in a double avaya. More than any other faith, Judaism has made zachar, memory, a matter of religious obligation. Memory means we write a chapter in our own lives, and the story we tell our children is where the past does not die, but the past lives on. Yizkor, we don't remember for the past. Vayizkor elokim es Noach, vayizkor elokim es Avram, vayizkor elokim es Rachel, Perek Lamed. We remember for the future. I'm going to end by quoting a poem also on a well-known book. I believe it's called Against All Odds by Barbara Bloom. Against All Odds by Barbara Bloom. Her son was injured in a IDF accident, field accident. And on Friday, 7:15 a.m., 24 Menachem Av 5763, August 22nd, 2003. Oh, wow. It's going to be his 20th year tight. His soul returned to its maker. It's kedai if you could read the book to read it. Against All Odds, Barbara Bloom. After Shiva, she wrote the following poem, his mother, Barbara Bloom. We beg you, O Lord, watch over our son, a free spirit, freed to heaven, just born. Orphaned from parents, alone and forlorn. Under your wings, permit him to rest. Give him direction, let him be blessed. Residing with angels and those pure of soul, for his spirit was pure, wholesome, and whole. Enfold him for us with a hug and embrace, so he may feel welcome in his heavenly place. We beg you, O Lord, watch over our trust, for his last suffering days, he suffered for us. If you ask me, a Talmudic Jew, how do I look upon the flag of the state of Israel? Does it have any halachic value? I do not hold with magical attraction of a flag or similar symbolic ceremonies. Judaism negates ritual connected with physical things. Nevertheless, we do not lose sight of the law in the Shulchan Aruch. One who has been killed by a non-Jew is buried in his clothing, so his clothing may be seen, his blood may be avenged. In other words, the clothes of the Jew acquire certain sanctity and splattered with the blood of a martyr. How much more so is this so of the blue and white flag, which has been immersed in the blood of thousands of young Jews defending the country and the population, religious and irreligious alike. The enemy does not differentiate. And so it has a spark of sanctity that flows from devotion and self-sacrifice. Shortly, very shortly, in Medina Yisrael, the siren will stand, the siren will sound, and thousands are remembered for their sacrifice to ensure the future Yizkor of the state of Israel. Kol demei achicha tzo'akim alai min ha'adama. We daven for the day. Yim ein shalom ein klum. Nikan shal shalom shakol keneged hakol. We daven for the day b'shuv Hashem et shiv etzion ha'yidin kachamim. Because then, as you malei shak pinu l'shanei nirina, then as you move agoyim, higdol Hashem la'asosim eila, higdol Hashem la'asosim anu yinisimeichem. We also daven for the return of the MIAs, Ron Arad, Eli Cohn. He wasn't an MIA, but a spy in Damascus who worked for the state of Israel. His remains, Oren Shaul, Hadar Golden, Manomar Manadaber, Bekrovai Akadesh, Vachichem Kobesis, or Yivkos, or Srefa, Asher Sarf Hashem. As the torchlighters say, upon lighting the torches on Yom HaTzmuah, Latif Eret Medina Yisrael, Latif Eret Medina Yisrael, and Chag Atzmut Samech, Besurs Tovos, and the Geula, Bimhir Biaminu.